based on if you have a permit or not. A lot has to do with your market, and if that processor is willing to buy your fish. So just because you have a permit doesn't mean you're going to be able to go fishing. So I think that it's important to note that when Representative Scaldi was in office, that he was the sponsor of the Korean hair crab fishery and crab, which is a vessel-based limit entry system, which was done at the request of Commercial Fisheries Entry Commission. It was not driven by Mr. Scaldi, it was driven by the Entry Commission, and that was a vessel-based limited entry system. You go down this track of establishing a moratorium for vessels, you can pretty well rest assured that the Commercial Fisheries Entry Commission is going to recommend a vessel-based system. What was the rationale for doing that in the Korean hare fishery, and why would that rationale be changed in other fisheries? I think that in regards to Gulf rationalization in the federal waters, I do not believe that it is in the state's interest to look at how that's been done. I can tell you that, personal note, I fished on a union boat out of Seattle that had the boat supported five families that lived in Alaska. And as soon as the rights to those resource were switched over to an absentee ownership, we as crew members were cut 60% in pay. And these are this is exactly what could potentially could happen to the working class people of Alaska who rely on access and to feed their families and stuff. So it's a very, very complicated issue. I really feel like the committee is working hard on it. I really appreciate it. I just want to say that, you know, I feel like you guys are getting wrapped around the axle on all the details. And if you want to make it simple, keep it individual-based moratorium. Look at what the federal government does, the federal management bodies does in federal waters. And just remember, the state of Alaska is the leader in conservation. You're the leader on involving the local people. Do not go down the road of the way the federal managers are going. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Alan. Appreciate it. Let's go to Jerry Merrigan. Jerry, are you on line?
Yes, I am, Mr. Chairman. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, we can, Jerry. Go ahead.
My name's Jerry Merrigan. I work for Prowler Fishery, and I'm also on the Gulf of Alaska Rationalization and Border Fish Work Committee. I would like to say I support the original bill, the D bill. I'm trying to keep track of my D's, U's, X's, and W's here. I think vessel-based portion needs to be in there. I think as much as I've got the X portion in front of me now, I think that tries to address some of the concerns that may be viable, but I have to do a line-by-line reading of it. The problem if you just go with you, say participant only, as was just previously attested to, is that I think you have the numbers before you, which I don't have right now, but I think you'll see you'll have 30% more participants as vessels if you go with this participant only. So then you have kind of a derationalization program. And I think you need to keep it clear. And I think it's getting pretty clear, but it gets a little fuzzy, that a moratorium is not also a licensing program. It's not the rationalization program. It is, you know, the timeout. It doesn't allow you to examine which fishery should be done by either a participant or vessel basis, but you need the timeout to get the information to do that. I think the amount of that timeout is going to be directly related to what Mary McDowell's testimony and how long it takes CFEC to do that analysis. So I think you need to keep it clear that the moratorium does not force you into any particular rationalization program. It is a effort moratorium. And if you look at the finding that the Board of Fish gave you, if you look at the heading, it says, in regard to a moratorium on entry of new vessels into state ground fish fisheries, point four they have is a timely temporary moratorium on effort. And the purpose is to impose moratorium on entry of new vessels. The reason we focused on vessels, because when you're talking about effort and capacity, it is the vessel, because a lot of these vessels have multiple skippers, as you saw on the data request you got. So if you go by participant, you just up the ante on how many people can enter, how many vessels can enter. It doesn't preclude preclude people from jumping to larger vessels, which I think partially got addressed in the, maybe in one of these amendments here. So I think that's why you have to also look at, particularly the moratorium, the vessel licensing. In regards to the aircraft bill, that originally came back from a request of the legislature and CFBC for a general vessel licensing bill, not a moratorium, but vessel licensing. It got modified, I believe, probably in this committee, to just aircraft and scallops. The legislature asked CFBC to come back with a general moratorium bill, and I support that, of giving CFBC the tools to do that. They don't have to go fishery by fishery each time, which I think is a cumbersome way for the public to participate in the legislature. We did talk about the existing limited entry moratorium system and how unworkable that is in our committee. That does get tied to the maximum number. Just as an example, we're still adjudicating maximum number of craft permits from Southeast from early in 1980. So going down that system of issuing the maximum number in the previous, which is the greatest participation 5 years before limited entry, we looked at the criteria for the normal limited entry thing. We saw that it'd be better to go to a legislative moratorium. I think that's where we're at now. I think that's all I have to do. I support moving ahead. I guess I'll just add one thought that you have the Board of Fish, a Board of Fish work group, the North Pacific Council, the Commissioner of Fish and Game, and CFBC all agreeing on something, all saying the same thing, but seems to be slightly held up in this committee. I'd just like to reflect on that. Thank you.
Thank you, Jerry. Appreciate that. Joe Childers, you want to testify?
Mr. Chairman, committee members, my name is Joe Childers. I'm director of a fishermen's association called the Western Gulf of Alaska Fishermen. I've already testified before, but I know Alan Parks did too, so if you want me to say something, I will. But
all I want to do is add on where we're going, that's fine.
Mr. Chairman, I just got one comment, and I'd say that I think you should reflect very carefully on what Jerry Merrigan's last comment was. What you have here is you have the groups that are actually charged by the by our system here to analyze these issues carefully. The Council, the Board of Fish, the North Pacific, the ADF&G, and the CFEC, and they're all unanimously supporting this thing. So that's all I have to say. Thank you.
Thanks, Joe. Let's go to Kodiak. Julie Bonney. We're trying to rush through testimony here, but take what time you need.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, my name is Julie Bonney. I represent the members of Alaska Groundfish Database. This is the third time I've testified to your committee. My biggest concern is moving this bill forward. As both Joe and Jerry said, we've been in the committee process. We have a lot of folks that have had a lot of time and energy in this before it got to the legislature, and we believe that this is an important tool to keep our fisheries both economical in terms of people being able to make money and not cut them thinner and thinner, and also deal with the concept of federal rationalization. My quick review of X bill, I'm in support of. I think that the concept of doing both a vessel and individual permit is a compromise. However, if I had my druthers, it would be a vessel moratorium only. But in terms of moving this forward, a compromise is probably a good thing. I also do believe that the drafters of the bill went through and tried to give as much flexibility as possible to have the different fisheries away and do what's appropriate over time so that this can be done in a timely fashion. I think that's probably a better approach than trying to cut the moratorium down to a one year versus the 4 and 2. And I guess that's all I have to say. Thank you.
Thanks, Julie. You. Quick question from Representative Hines.
It's really not a question, it's a comment.
Oh,
it's a question.
It's not a, yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. I'm worried about running out of time and losing members. This bill's got two more referrals. Would you entertain us recessing and bringing this up again today? We don't meet again for another week. Would you entertain that?
Yeah, but I think I want to get through the most of the testimony that we have to do. We can recess as chair.
Okay.
Let's go to Homer, Jason Koontz. Jason, are you in Homer?
Yes, I am. Hi, this is Jason Koontz. I'm a commercial fisherman here in Homer,
Township. I've been fishing in Alaska for 10 years now. I'm a relatively new participant. 100% of my income derives from commercial fishing. I have a family to support. I feel like this is limiting my ability. If you vessel bait on this cod fishery that I participate in Cook Inlet and around the other parts of the state waters fishery, you're encouraging corporate ownership, absentee ownership. As we heard testimony earlier from another member of a corporate absentee ownership vessel, the Prowler Fisheries, is that road there is great if you want guys that are never going to have a chance like me to being an owner operator. And I am working my way up into that now, and I want to see to keep with the traditional lines of a individual permit-based fishery. And I do not support, nor do I know anybody else that is in my same age bracket and financial situation of working their way into vessel ownership, supporting a vessel-based program. And I feel like that if there is, limiting this is not providing any additional income for me. It's not protecting my interests whatsoever by having a vessel-based program. I think a limited participation in an individual permit-based program would keep guys like me going. It would make the fishery viable, and we should mirror whatever the management council comes out with, and keep, you know, so we don't create a race for fish in state waters and having a longer season in federal waters. And that's all I have to say, and thank you very much.
Thank you, Jason. Let's go to Kodiak, Alexis.
Good morning, Mr. Chair.
Yeah.
My name's Alexis.
Go ahead.
My name's Alexis Klotzka. I've got a different hat on today. I'm going to be representing Gulf Groundfish Fishermen's Association. It's not a recognized association, but it's valid despite the fact. I'm also going to speak for the Crew Members Association. The Gulf Groundfish Fishermen's Association is represented by 156 people. That's both skipper and crew. The Crew Members Association, both skipper and crew, but mainly crew, and that's 238 individuals. We don't support the vessel, the rights going to the vessel at all. It really limits us. And as Jerry pointed out earlier, you know, it's 30% difference. If you're going to do something, limit it to the participants who've been in it. It's going to benefit Alaska the best. My concern is strictly Alaska. I live in Kodiak. I put two kids through school here. I own a home. I do not own a vessel. I've been working on the vessel I'm on personally for 14 years. And I caught all the groundfish that are going to be given to the boat if it goes to the state, to the vessel on the state side. And the federal program, which we've been talking about, has no provision for skipper or crew. And it goes entirely to the vessel. And then we do see this absentee ownership. On the vessel I work on right now, we're paying 35% off the top goes to the vessel. And then we get paid. And then the vessel also takes a share. And this really affects us. And that's why I'm against the vessel moratorium. I think it should go to the individual. The Board of Fish has plenty of tools. I can point to some examples. You know, and here in the salmon industry, we've got 300 individual permits plus, I think, for Kodiak Island. And I think right now there's only 100 of them participating. Economics has decided that. If too many players are on the table, you can limit how much gear they have and what they can do with it. You know, I think that it's the wrong road to go down to facilitate the federal program by changing the traditional path of going to the operator of these vessels. If you give out 1,300 permits, you're going to have 1,300 options, yes, but the economics will determine how many individuals are fishing in the fisheries. And if too many are, you can limit it. By pots, it's going to bring the economics to the communities of Alaska where they need to be. The jig fishery is totally successful. The pot fishery is very successful now. We can slow it down if we want that season to go longer. I had another point here, and I'm just kind of working through it because I never write my testimony down.
Well, if you do get it written, go ahead and fax it on in to us here, because we'd appreciate it having in writing as well. And that goes for anyone else there.
I want to speak to one more thing. In the last hearing you guys had, we talked about the possible influx of 238 trawl vessels in the fishery. Well, I can point that Prince William Sound's open now. How come they're not going and harvesting those fish if this is a possibility? You know, I mean, I think when you look at the fuel consumption by a trawl vessel versus a pot boat, you're going to see that the economics will not permit them to go into these fisheries. It just doesn't work for them the way it works for the smaller vessels of the community here. So that's about all I have to say. I was kind of all over the board there. I hope you got what I was.
Sure did. Thank you, Alexis. And is Julie Kavanaugh there?
Myself and my family, lifetime resident of Alaska, and personally I've been involved with commercial fishing for about 20 years. My husband fished for 25 plus years. We are owner-operator exclusive, which means we own our boat and we operate our boat. We are in a unique, not completely unique, but in a situation where we can choose without being affected adversely which way to go, and we really feel that in lawmaking, laws are supposed to be looked at in a, not only can it be legal, but is it justified and is it moral, and I think most lawyers will recognize those three functions. So we choose individually based, not exclusively vessel, and our second choice would be inclusive vessels and individuals. I think that you need to realize that this is, as someone else pointed out, there's a fear that is sending messages if you go vessel only, that you prefer that system. So we wanted to point that out. And in my last testimony last week, I also need to reiterate the fact that we are concerned as an exclusive owner-operator that we are limited than by who can run our boat when you tie the vessel to the individual. Thank you.
Thank you, Julie. Jeff Stephens, or Stevens, are you there?
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, can you hear me?
Yes, you can. Jeff, go ahead. Yeah, Jeff.
Yeah, can you hear me now?
Yeah, we can. Go ahead.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Good morning, and members of the committee, I appreciate the opportunity to talk to you. I represent the United Fishermen's Marketing Association, and as I mentioned before, we have vessels both over and under 60 feet, primarily pot vessels.
And Jeff? Sir? Jeff, let me interrupt just to let you know, we do have your written testimony here before us as well, so thanks.
Right. Oh, okay. Great. I'll just hit a couple issues that came up here today. I just want to go on a record, and again, in support of the vessel-based moratorium, but to the extent that you need to add the individual-based moratorium on there, we have no objection to putting both of those together. I think this, in some respects, it appears that maybe some of the discussion is turning this discussion into maybe a referendum on limited entry programs or absentee ownership or corporate ownership, and it really isn't that. I think there's sufficient protection in the bill, and if you need more, I think you should put it in there to prevent those kinds of things from happening. But this is really, this is in the best interest of protecting the standing of state vessels and residents. Most of our vessels are state residents. They fish, a lot of them fish primarily inside state waters. And we feel that we really need this bill to protect their standing in any federal rationalization program. Additionally, and in concert to that, we need to provide the Board of Fishery, as you heard earlier from Chairman Gershon, with some options so that they are not limited to their ability to preserve the standing of state vessels, and then so they're not limited by existing means and methods to be draconian. I mean, we could go to a 5 or 10 pod fishery. We could go to 12-hour openings. We could do all of those things, I guess, but they're certainly not in the best interest of the economic and social viability of communities of fishermen. So we support the moratorium. We would accede to the fact that you probably are required politically to include individuals and in this, but
Thanks, Jeff. Appreciate it. And that is the extent of our time and the extent of our folks to testify. And what I'll do is I'll recess to the call of the chair. We're not today. We need time to look at and discuss a number of these options. There's some amendments that are out there for the committee to look at as well. And so we'll recess to the call of the chair. And is there any other comments by the committee before we adjourn for the day or recess?